entertain a motion to come out of recess into public hearings.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Rutt.
Thank you. This is the time and place for public hearings. We have four public hearings today on the agenda. I will read the title of the application, and then a representative of the Planning Department will make a report to County Council. The applicant or the applicant's representative will then have the opportunity to present evidence into the record. After the applicant has concluded, then anyone in support of the application will be asked to present their position. After that, anyone in opposition will have the opportunity to make a statement. There will be no rebuttal from the applicant unless council permits it. Any questions should be directed to Mr. Vincent, and he will get the answer to the question if he feels it appropriate. We do ask that everyone respect the opinions and positions of the applicant and the opposition. No catcalls, no whistling, no jeering, cheering, or anything such as that. And we ask that you turn off any cell phones or other electronic devices that would disrupt the hearing. So with that, the first application is conditional use 1933, the application of Mark A. Gilbin to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a towing service and landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 3.374 acres more or less, lying southeast of Route 17, Roxana Road, and 1,185 feet northeast of Road 382, Zion Church Road, identified as Sussex County Tax Map ID number 533-6.00-60.02. Mr. Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. Rutt. The Planning Commission held their public hearing in July 26 of 2012. I've passed down a copy of the site plan and survey. The commission heard comments from DLDOT, Sussex County Engineering Department. The applicant was present, gave a presentation. There was one person present that spoke in opposition to this application. On July 26th, the commission deferred action. On August the 9th of this year, the commission discussed this application under old business. There was discussion about recommending approval, the number of vehicles that were permitted on the site, whether any vehicles should be for sale. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1933 for Mark A. Giblin for a towing service and landscaping business in an AR1 agricultural residential district based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use has been in existence for 12 to 13 years and was recently violated for operating without an approval. This conditional use, with stipulations and conditions placed upon it, will regulate the use of the business and mitigate any adverse effects on the neighboring or adjacent properties. Two, the use is on a 3.374 acre tract where the applicant currently resides. Three, although the towing business operates from the site, the employees mostly work from their homes since they are on call. As a result, there is not a great deal of traffic that is generated to or from the site. Four, the only opposition came from a next door neighbor who only opposed the impound yard use and repair service use. This objection seemed to rise out of uncertainty from people looking for their cars about where the impound yard was located. This concern can be alleviated with the conditions we shall place upon this recommendation. The next door neighbor did not oppose the towing service or the landscaping service. Five, the use is consistent with other small scale business uses in the area, including a bait and tackle shop on the adjacent property, an air conditioning service business, and other uses in close proximity to the site. And this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the impound yard shall be surrounded by a fence with landscaping to screen it from neighboring and adjacent properties. B, no more than 18 vehicles shall be permitted on the property besides the applicant's own vehicles. C, no permanently disabled or abandoned vehicles shall be allowed to remain on the property. D, there shall be one lighted sign which shall not exceed 32 square feet in size to identify the towing service and the impound lot. The sign shall include a phone number to call for information about vehicles impounded and for other information about the service. E, no vehicles shall be displayed for sale. F, all security lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring or adjacent properties. G, the final site plan shall clearly depict the area set aside for parking of impounded vehicles, vehicles that are being serviced, and towing equipment. H, the area set aside for the landscaping business, including equipment, storage, and any bins for materials such as topsoil, mulch, etc., shall clearly be depicted on this final site plan. The service business hours of operation shall be limited to 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays with no Sunday hours. The final site plan shall include a landscaping plan for the area surrounding the impound yard, screening it from neighboring or adjacent properties. And finally, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and it carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0. On July 27th, we received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. They advised that there are three soils on the site, that during any construction, the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after construction. There's no storm flood hazard area affected. It's not likely that any all-site drain improvements would be required, and there's no tax ditch affected. And attached to that was an aerial photograph and a copy of the soils map. On August the 1st, Mr. Lank received an email. I wanted to let you and the county council know I support conditional use 1933. Applied for by Mark Giblin for landscaping and towing service. Roxana has many businesses, including mine, and this use is the norm at the Route 17 and Route 20 intersection. Please forward this email to the council members or place it on the record for the public hearing since I will be unable to attend the meeting. And that was signed by John Gilman, the owner of the Roxana Athletic Club. On August the 9th, there was a letter addressed to Councilman Phillips. We also received a copy of this letter on August the 9th. I am writing in regards to CU 1933. I own the adjoining property, and I am against this permit because I don't want to live next to a garage service center as well as an impound yard. The conditional use is asking for approval for towing service and landscaping. There is no mention of a service center or impound yard in the permit that everyone was mailed. The surrounding neighbors have no knowledge of the service center or impound yard. My concerns are noise, pollution, crime, theft, safety, and property value decrease. People speed up and down my driveway and stop in at my tackle shop looking for the impound yard, especially on weekends. As you can imagine, these people can be upset and rude trying to find their vehicles. If you put Mark's address into a GPS, it will send you to my driveway as his location. I have a 9-year-old daughter, and this is a residential area. I have on several occasions people late at night drive up to and knock on my door looking for their vehicle. I'm concerned for my family's safety. I bought here 12 years ago for peacefulness and tranquility of the area. This conditional use will ruin that. Impound yards and service centers are definitely commercial in nature and should not be allowed in residential areas, especially considering that there are plenty of available locations that can be used for these services where it is already allowed. I am also concerned that the next business he will start is a repo business, considering everything would be in place for that to occur. I have talked to people who live by these places, and they say the things that occur are terrible. They deal with trespassing, theft, vandalism, etc. I opened a bait and tackle shop last year. I went through all legal channels. It took me almost a year to open legally, and this is upsetting that someone can start a business without going through the legal channels and wait till he gets in trouble before trying to become legal. Mr. Giblin has procrastinated in doing this for several years. He has run his landscaping business out of his residence for 10 plus years. He has run his towing on and garage for 3 plus years. I have no problem with Mark running a dispatch service for towing out of residence. My concerns with landscaping are proper material storage, equipment storage, and especially chemical storage. He also has an apartment in the same building as his service center. How is that safe or legal? Has anything been brought to the attention of or approved by EPA, fire marshal, building code, etc.? Is a French drain for the garage sink legal? It runs towards my property, and that area is usually wet and soft. I am sure that there are other concerns, but that is all I have for now. I am waiting to hear a response back from you addressing my concerns. Please feel free to contact me. And that was signed by James Mershon, the owner of Jim's Bait and Tackle. That's all we've received to date.
Thank you. Is the applicant present or someone on the applicant's behalf?
That's the one that you said you couldn't come in?
Opposition. Okay. Mr. Vincent, I called the applicant or a representative, and no one has appeared or stood to say that they are representing the applicant.
Sounds like a problem, doesn't it?
Well, if the applicant isn't here, we can't have a public record.
No, there's nothing to be presented.
Well, I'll make a read it. We got a policy. If nobody shows up, we read it. Turn it down.
You want us to try to reach him?
Typically, we've done that in the past.
Sure, we can do that. Yeah, we can.
Yeah. We'll have to go on.
Somebody's raised their hand back here. I don't know what about, but
there's a guy back here. I don't hear.
I'm the opposition.
Oh, okay. You're here. Okay, opposition is here. Okay, good.
All right. We'll see if we can locate him.
Anybody else for opposition?
We can play all. Put
it
on back.
How do we?
Well, what we would need to do is defer consideration, if you wish to do that, to see if the applicant.
Can do it if we can find the applicant.
And we could go on to the next hearing and come back.
I'll make that motion.
Well, we got people here waiting. I don't know if it's fair to them.
Well, let's try to do this right. We got a motion and a second to defer and see if we find the applicant and if they're going to show up or not, and then we'll go on back. Okay.
We're done.
Yeah, we'll have a motion to defer long enough so we can locate the applicants. Yes. So we're going to be able to come in here.
If we can.
Okay. We'll take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson. Abu, yes. We will move on to CU-1935, and then we'll see what we find out.
Okay. Thank you. The next application is CU-1935, the application of John Herholt to consider the conditional use of land in an AR-1 agricultural residential district for a workshop for a family electrical business and a butcher shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.347 acres more or less, lying east of Route 42, Union Church Road, or North Union Church Road, and 900 feet north of Road 207, Fitzgerald Road, tax map ID 130. 6.00, 45.02.
He thought it was tomorrow. He had it on schedule tomorrow, so he's getting in the car right now and heading this way. I told him that we possibly would hear it at the end.
Okay.
Sorry for.
That's okay. Mr. Abbott, you want to?
This public hearing was held July 26th. Passed down a copy of the site plan and survey. The Planning Commission heard comments from DelDoc, Sussex County Engineering Department. The applicant was present, gave a presentation. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1935 for John Herholt for a family electrical business and butcher shop based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, both uses will have little or no impact on the neighborhood. The butcher shop is seasonal and the electrical business is basically for storage of generators. Two, the use of an electrical business is a minor expansion of the applicant's nearby electrical business, which already has its own conditional use approval. Three, there are other small businesses in the area, and this use will be consistent with those other uses. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the butcher shop shall be seasonal from September 1 through March 1. B, no retail sales shall occur from the butcher shop. C, there shall not be any outside storage of electrical equipment, and all work shall occur inside. D, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. E, the hours of operation for the electrical business shall be Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. F, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second. This carried with three votes to forward the application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 3-0, and Mr. Smith was absent during the vote. On July 27th, we received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. The soils on this site are Rosedale loamy sand. During any construction, the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices and to maintain vegetation after completion of any construction. There's no tax ditch affected, no storm flood hazard area affected, and it would not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvement. And that's all we've received to date.
Hey, thank you. Is the applicant or a representative for the applicant present?
Yes.
Come forward. Please state your full name and address for the record.
John Herholt, 16495 Heritage Lane, Milford, Delaware.
And go ahead and give us the reasons for your application.
Just what was stated with storage of some generators and other stuff for Centerfield and Ryan, and for the butcher shop, as I stated also, it's just seasonal for deer hunting.
I didn't hear what he said. After butcher shop, what?
Seasonal. For
seasonal,
mm-hmm.
as was stated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from council? Mr. Herholt?
You're just going to, on the butcher shop, you're not going to have retail sales.
No.
I understand. But that's okay with you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I don't think you're allowed to sell it.
Right.
You're not allowed to sell it.
No,
you're right. So that's why I can't do retail.
Yeah, right, I understand. Yeah. I just want to make sure that.
Yeah, if you haven't inspected, you
can. That was clear. Oh. Okay, what is it what is it you're going to be doing in the butcher shop?
Mainly deer.
Okay, gotcha. I understand.
You going to do some cattle too? Maybe?
I don't think so. If somebody brought one in, I guess I would.
If I bring you one, you wouldn't do it, huh?
It's possible.
Just bring them just a piece of it at a time. You could probably handle it then.
A little heavier than a deer. Yeah. Need some help.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Herholt. Excuse me, gentlemen, could you please, if you're going to talk, go out in the hallway? Thank you.
Thank you, Board.
Anyone here in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, we'll close the public record.
We'll close public hearing, close public record.
Right.
If you'd read the short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a workshop for a family electrical business and a butcher shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.374 acres, more or less, and it's tax map ID 13645.02, the application of John Herholt.
Pleasure.
Make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole, to grant conditional use 1935. Any questions on the motion?
Excuse me, is that to grant it with or without conditions?
With conditions. Yes.
As stated.
Stated in the P&Z hearing record. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Voting yes, with the conditions, and I think our Planning and Zoning Commission did a good job on it, and my reasons are the same as theirs.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes, I agree with Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes, appears to have very little impact on the community.
Mr. Wilson?
I'll vote yes, following the recommendations of P&Z.
I also agree. It appears to have a little impact on the community, and it recommendation of Planning and Zoning. I agree with their reasons and their conditions. Although yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Next.
Next is conditional use 1936, the application of Chester Townsend IV to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a food vendor to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1 acre more or less, lying north of Route 26, 0.2 miles northeast of Road 342, Sandy Lane Road, and that's tax map ID 13411, parcel 3.
This public hearing was also held on July 26th of this year. I just passed down a copy of the site plan. Mr. Lank advised the commission that this application originated due to a violation. The commission heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. The applicant, a representative of the applicant, was present and gave a presentation. Mr. Lang advised the commission that if the use is approved, the use of the trailer would require an approval from the County Board of Adjustment. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. On July 26th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On August the 9th of this year, the commission deferred the application for further consideration, and they discussed the numerous signs on the site, and this application will be back on the commission's agenda Thursday evening under old business.
Oh, it was deferred twice?
Yes. Mm-hmm. On July 27th, we received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. They advised that there are 3 soil types on the site, that during any construction, the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices. There's no storm flood hazard area or a tax ditch affected, and it would not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. On August the 14th, we received a copy of a letter. It was addressed to the applicant. It's been brought to the Department of Transportation's attention that tax parcel number 134113 is being accessed without a valid entrance permit for the current use. There is a business being run from the property, and the property owners have not obtained a commercial entrance permit from the Department of Transportation. The department is giving the applicant 20 days from the date of receipt of this notification to submit a schedule to correct the violation. Failure to correct the violation within the time specified or to comply with DLDOT's request shall cause the department to seek compliance in accordance with the remedies permitted by the Delaware Code, including closing the entrance. And it makes reference to a contact number, and that was signed by Jamez Norwood, the South Permit Supervisor. That's all we received to date.
Thank you. Is there someone here on behalf of the applicant? can come forward and identify yourself, please.
Shirley Townsend.
And your address, please.
My address, 32523 Falling Point Road, Dagsburg, Delaware.
Okay, and can you present your information regarding the application?
Okay, well, my husband is Chet Townsend, and he and I run the Fish Killer's Lobster Shack there in Dagsboro. And this is our fourth summer that we've been doing this. We were on a little rented piece of property before, and we were fortunate enough to purchase a spot that we thought would, you know, enhance our business. And we both lived in Dagsboro forever, my whole 51 years. I don't know how that happened, but it did. But anyway, so, you know, we want to make, you know, we love Dagsboro. We want to make our business pretty, safe, you know, clean, neat, customer friendly, you know, all of the above. So we certainly want to, you know, go through all the proper channels and, you know, make all you folks happy and do the right thing.
Any questions from council?
Have you made the application with DelDOT?
I just received the letter this morning. I just got the notice yesterday in the mailbox that we had the letter. Picked it up this morning, and I spoke to Mr. Norwood on the phone, and I told him it was the first that I'd learned that we needed to do that. We had received, I thought, a verbal okay from, I guess it was planning and zoning, that we thought everything was satisfied with Department of Transportation. But Mr. Norwood explained to me that was the traffic impact study that it looks like we don't need, but that we still have to do this application through them, and he was going to make some phone calls and find out exactly. And he told me best case scenario, worst case scenario, and you know, I've started that process to the best of my ability. He told me to contact me. There's some type of a meeting this week, and he's going to contact me either tomorrow or Thursday.
For the entrance?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Well,
Can you just describe the business a little bit for the record?
Yes. My husband's been a waterman for over 30 years, and he catches lobsters. That's one of his specialties. And over the years has developed a love for cooking and wanted to, you know, have a family business and share, you know, his recipes with our neighbors there in Dagsboro. And it's a takeout restaurant. I mean, we do have a couple picnic tables, but there's no, you know, table service per se, so it's carry out. And we're open 3 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, during the summer season primarily. I mean, now that we have the property, we mentioned perhaps doing Saturdays in September, but that'll probably be the bulk of it.
And you weren't aware you needed permits to do this kind of stuff since you've been in business for 4 years?
Well, we started, somebody brought it to our attention. It was probably you, I think. And I did at that time.
2 years ago, though.
Well, we were on Bake Timmons' property, okay?
Right.
And I don't think we were getting, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he was getting the mail, but we did. I spoke with someone on the phone. I mean, I would have to dig through my archives. It might have been Lawrence Lank at the time. I don't remember. But I remember someone told us that the process starts with Department of Transportation. And I said, okay, what do I need to do to start the process? And they said, you've started it because I have, you know, made the contact. And that was the last that I heard of that. And again, perhaps we didn't receive the mail. I don't know. Because I know there was another insurance document that we didn't receive because of the, you know, we're trying to make sure now all our documents get mailed to our home address because we don't receive mail at this business address now. But I did make that contact.
All right. And Mr. Smith, he alluded to all the signage, that there was, numerous signs, which are probably also not in compliance with.
We received that letter about the Board of Adjustment, and that letter, Tony, we're trying to do everything the right way. That letter said that should we get approval on the conditional use, then we need to go to Board of Adjustment and find out what we need to do to correct that as well. So certainly that was a plan.
But some of the other sign, I think you had just too many. I think he was referencing too many signs and some up and down the road and stuff that were also. I think they've disappeared. But in my latest observation, is they're not up anymore. So you are aware then of the signage issues with Sussex County.
We do have that letter, and if I understood it correctly,
this is about signs, not about the Board of Adjustment. You know,
but the Board of Adjustment,
that's for the
trailer. Letter is in reference to the signs. Oh, it's not?
That's just the trailer, if I'm not mistaken. Shane is he's gonna look here a minute.
I have the letter with me as well.
I think Shane will have it here in a minute.
That.
I think Mr. Smith, he was talking about signs, but I don't. That's the Board of Adjustments for the trailer.
Yeah, the first letter from the zoning inspector was that you need to apply for the conditional use, and then the second one was if you're going to retain the trailer type structure, that it would have to go, have to obtain a special use exception right. from the board, and then all the signs were from Mr. Smith when he talked at the last meeting.
Yeah, I think that's where in our record here, right?
Concerned about
so that's not in the letters. No, that's just our basic county ordinance on what's permitted with signs. Because normally what happens, other businesses, they see you doing all these signs and they know they're not permitted and they're not allowed to do it and they get mad, and that's usually who complains, other people who are legitimately doing it or, you know, following the rules. So,
sure, I understand.
So all the little signs, you need to look into then what this county sign ordinance is.
What it says here in the Minutes of Planning and Zoning says Mr. Lank advised commission that the use of the trailer for the premises business, on-premise business, will require approval from the Board of Adjustment. Mm-hmm. That the 32-foot square foot requirement for signs with a conditional use application is actually a policy and not a regulation. That the code would allow up to 200 square feet of signage for on-premise ground sign for conditional use.
It was numerous signs. Okay. I know that, but they just had them up and down the road, off-site.
Yeah, off-site. You can't do that. You can have sign on-site, but you can't be off-site.
Right, no, it was off-site. Well, there were some off-site signs. Well, I think that's what Rodney was talking about.
We'll certainly, you know, do whatever's required. And I thought, I mean, that one letter, I hope I'm not getting these letters mixed up. I hope I have all the letters. But that you could pay more, like if you have more excess signs. I mean, is that correct or no? Or there's some type of a fee that
no,
you can...
No, we don't know. You could, again, I guess, go to the Board of Adjustment and Variance and ask for a variance from our sign ordinance and get something larger, but...
Okay, I think that's the letter that I'm talking about.
That's
the only letter I think
but
that I have.
That variance referenced in their letter was just about the trailer. The signage is something different
okay.
in the way they reference it. Okay, anyway, I would recommend that you find out what the signage ordinance is.
Okay, and then who do I go to for that?
Same guys. One-stop shopping, the planning zoning.
Okay.
They can show you the ordinance.
Okay.
It's in our ordinance book, right, Shane?
Yeah.
Shouldn't
yes.
have it yet. If you just go to the counter.
Dean did put in his letter, the last paragraph, that only one ground sign is permitted.
Hmm. Okay.
So it was the same letter.
And should we need more, then we go to Board of Adjustment or something?
Could apply.
The Board of Adjustment.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
How many cars do you think can park in that front area, front yard setback?
How many cars?
Comfortably.
That's a guy question. I need my husband and all the guys here. Okay, that's probably.
How many
do? 10?
You're already in business. You have 10. You have 10 cars.
Yeah, I work there part time. I have a full time job, so my husband and the kids and you know they pretty much run it. But I would say. 12, maybe,
mm-hmm.
something, 10, 12. I mean, 10, let's, probably 10.
Shane, something. There'll be a requirement on, that the planning zoning
if it, if
put
this
to
were
this?
Approved by the council, site plan, that would fall under site plan review.
In other words, we'll make
Mr.
sure
Smith,
there's,
Smith,
some, yeah, the, okay, those, that'll be part of the final
it.
Approval, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
As to how many cars we can.
Well, how big, if the parking lot's not big enough for what you're doing or whatever.
Okay.
That was, yeah.
Right. The last thing they want them to do is start parking on the highway because the parking lot's full, and then you will have another problem if somebody stops out there and then to come to get their food on the shoulder.
Right. The only time I've seen that done, it was a gentleman that was pulling a trailer, and I think he had to park.
I know. I'm just saying, but if the lot is full or it's not large enough and they start doing that, then,
gotcha.
Then they'll be back, you know, people will be back on you. Other problems. Anyway.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Townsend.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone here in support of this application that would like to speak? Seeing none, anyone in opposition to this application that would like to speak? No one responded, so the public hearing portion will be closed. However, this matter has not been voted on by planning and zoning, so.
Make a motion, we defer.
Second.
We will close the public hearing, close public comment. And we have a motion and a second to defer. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
The next public hearing is the application of Delaware Electric Cooperative, Inc. To consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar electric generation facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 40 acres more or less, lying southeast of Trap Pond Road, Route 62, approximately 840 feet northeast of Road 518, Substation Road, and it's part of tax map parcel 135, map 22, parcel 23.
The Planning Commission held their public hearing on this application on August the 9th of this year. I've provided each of you a copy of an exhibit booklet that was submitted by the applicants. During the commission's hearing, they were advised that there was an email that was received. There was an error on page 35 of the exhibit booklet. The commission heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District. The applicant, a representative of the applicant, their attorney, and a professional engineer were present and gave a presentation. There was two people that spoke in support of this application. Three people were present and spoke in opposition to the application. Mr. Ross stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval for CU 1941 for the Delaware Electric Cooperative, Inc. for a solar electric generating facility in an AR1 district based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed facility is a public utility use under the Sussex County Zoning Code, and it meets the purposes of a conditional use in that it is of a public or semi-public character that is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents. Two, the proposed use will not have any adverse impact on the neighboring or adjacent properties. It is bordered on the east by a collector ditch in an unoccupied wooded area, and on the south by a tax ditch in a large tract of tilled agricultural land, on the west by East Trap Pond Road and another large tract of tilled agricultural land, and on the north by yet another large tract of tilled agricultural land. The nearest residence to the proposed use, which appears to be unoccupied and abandoned, is approximately 1/10 of a mile from the proposed use. The nearest occupied residence is approximately 2/10 of a mile from the site. Three, the proposed solar electric generation facility will be constructed in two phases. The first phase will generate 4 megawatts of solar electric power, and a second phase will add an additional 3 megawatts of solar electric power. The combined total of these two phases will provide sufficient renewable green energy for approximately 870 homes. The proposed solar generation facility will not result in a noticeable increase in traffic on adjacent and neighboring roadways. It is expected that only one vehicle trip per week on an average is anticipated for inspections, maintenance, and repair of the solar panels. The Delaware Department of Transportation has reviewed the proposed plan and has issued a letter of no objection with regard to the plan. The facility will be eco-friendly. In its first year of operation, it will decrease approximately 12,641 pounds of carbon-based generated electricity. This is the equivalent of taking 1,239 automobiles off the road. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, no storage facility shall be constructed on the site. B, lighting on the facility will consist only of perimeter lighting for security purposes. All lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. C, one unlighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. D, the site shall be secured by fencing. A locked 38-foot wide gate will permit access to the site from East Trap Pond Road with a knock box to accommodate emergency access by the local fire company. E, if the solar electric generation facility is non-operational for a period of 12 months, the Delaware Electric Cooperative or Assigns must return the site to its original state within a 12-month period. F, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and it carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And we have not received any additional correspondence to date.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is the applicant or a representative of the applicant present?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Terry Jaywork. I'm with the law firm Hudson Jones, Jaywork & Fisher, and I'm the attorney for Dell Electric Cooperative. Now, with me today is Mr. Mark Nielsen, who is the Vice President of Staff Services at Dell Electric Co-op. Again, Mr. Walter Hoy, who is a Delaware Registered Engineer from Century Engineering of Dover. And today we also have with us Mr. Randall Handy, who is a certified real estate appraiser with Handy Realty of Seaford. And in just a minute, they're going to come up and give you the meat of this presentation. I just have a few introductory remarks. As Mr. Abbott indicated, this 40-acre parcel is part of a 163-acre tract that is currently owned by a company called Heritage Lands LLC. And the property is located on both sides of East Trap Pond Road, about a mile and a half, mile from where I'm standing right now. Although the Heritage Farm tract straddles both sides of East Trap Pond Road, the cooperative 40 acres is on the east side. And as Mr. Abbott indicated when he read the recommendation from the Planning Commission, 40 acres that we're going to be developing, we hope, is surrounded by tilled, open-tilled farmlands and by a small stretch of woods. Now, Mr. Nielsen, in a few minutes, is going to explain why this particular site was chosen, but I think it's important that you all understand why the cooperative is going to build a solar farm in the first place. And there are lots of environmental reasons, but the short and quick answer is that we're pretty much required to do so by law. The General Assembly has passed a bill a couple years ago. It's called the Renewable Energy Portfolio Standards Act, and that's found in Title 26. And it requires the cooperative to adopt a program that's similar to that is applicable to retail electricity suppliers. And under the statute, retail electricity suppliers have to provide at least 25% of their electrical energy from renewable resources by the year 2025. And 3.5% of that 25% must come from solar resources. And it's also important to understand, I think, that the statute has kind of a graduated compliance schedule, so that each year, starting now, electric suppliers have to be moving towards attainment of that 2025 goal. For example, the requirement for 2014 is that 11.5% of our energy must come from renewable energy resources, and of that 11.5%, 0.8% must be solar. And those standards increase every year under the statute until we get to the final endpoint in the year 2025. So this facility is one of DEC's or the cooperative's first steps to comply with that statute. And as when it's fully completed and we have the entire facility built out, I think this was also in the Planning Commission report, that it will generate 7 megawatts of electricity. That I'm told, I'm not an expert, but I'm told by the people that I work for, that that would provide service to 870 residential homes. That in the first year, I think it was also said that that would displace about 12,600 pounds of carbon-based generated electricity, which is the equivalent of taking about 1,240 automobiles off the road. Mm. Now, in addition to the environmental benefits, particularly at this time in our economic history, this will have tremendous economic benefits for the state of Delaware as well, because the solar panels, and there'll be 16,000 of them in phase one and 12,000 in phase two, so that's 28,000 panels, will be manufactured in Newark, Delaware by a company called Motec Americas. Additionally, the construction and installation of this facility, which is anticipated to take 4 to 6 months, will create approximately 40 temporary full-time jobs. So during the period of time it's being installed, it will be full-time jobs for 40 people, and the anticipation is that most of those positions will be filled by Delaware residents. The last point I'd like to touch on before I sit down and turn this over to Mr. Nielsen has to do with compatibility of the surrounding area. What I'd like to point out is, in keeping with the AR1 zoning classification of this property, in common parlance, and you've heard of this type of facility, is called a solar farm because it harvests the energy directly from the sun. And I would suggest to you, because I don't know that people really think about this, but at least in my view, this is going to have far less impact on surrounding properties than even typical agricultural activities. There was not going to be any dust from plowing or disking or seeding or harvesting. There won't be any noise from farming equipment. There won't be any big, heavy combines trying to get on and off those narrow county roads. There won't be any irrigation facilities, no fertilizers or pesticides, and no animal or plant waste being generated or stored on the property. So basically, once this is installed, it's a totally passive, I would call it almost antiseptic operation. I just have this solar panel sitting out there in the field collecting the sunlight and turning it into electricity. The other point I'd like to make with regard to compatibility, and I think this was mentioned in the Planning Commission report, is that the cooperative did hold an open house on July the 30th from 4 to 6 p.m. right here in the Georgetown Cheer Center and invited all of the properties that surround the entire 163-acre Heritage Farms tract to that open house. I handed this up at the Planning Commission, so I don't know if you've seen this, so I'm going to ask if I may hand this up again. This is a copy, or an exhibit, I should say. This little exhibit contains the mailing list of the people who are invited to the open house. It has a copy of the letter that invited them, and it also has the sign-in sheet of the people that did attend. And if you look at this little map when it comes down to you, the properties marked with the orange dots are properties within 200 feet of the subject site that are required by the Sussex County Ordinance to receive written notice of these hearings. And as you can see from the map, the cooperative for our open house invited all the properties that are highlighted in yellow and in green. And the difference between the green and the yellow is that the green properties are people that actually turned out to the hearing. And as it turned out, there were only four people who, after being invited to the open house, who were concerned enough or interested enough to attend. I was present at the open house. It was very informal. It was not a presentation like we're going to give today, that we had boards up similar to the ones you're going to see in just a few minutes, displays. There were staff members who could answer questions. Several members of the co-op board of directors were there. And I can represent to you, because I said I was there, that the few people that did come out, after they had a chance to look at the boards, talk to the staff, talk to the directors, they had no opposition. Several of them said they supported the project and they wished us well in getting it approved. One lady even told me she wished we were doing the project on her property instead of this property. So I think you can take that into account in determining whether or not it's compatible with the abutting properties, nearby properties. I'm a very cautious individual, so I just want to make sure that we have a full record here. I understand that the 38-page information packet that Mr. Abbott has previously passed out is part of the record. I'd also ask that the document I just handed up be included in the record, along with all the other documents that were attached to our conditional use application papers. And finally, we're going to have a few exhibits that will be introduced by the speakers yet to come. So with that, I would like to ask Mark Nielsen to come up. He's the project manager for this, and also Mr. Walt Hoy, who is the professional engineer.
I don't know if that comment,
sir,
is too well taken. As far as when you say that these solar panels are more important than farming and less damaging to the environment.
Let me say one thing. I didn't say more important.
Before I get done.
Okay.
I'll guarantee you, you'll eat a lot longer off what the farmers grow than you will eat off them solar panels. Those solar panels actually are going to lose you money when it's all over. It's going to cost us money. I'm a Delaware Electric user. It's going to cost us money. And you did say one thing. It's the foolishness of our legislators that would ever make a law to make us buy electricity from something that costs us more money than it would if we bought it from where we want to buy it from.
I'd buy it.
It's silliness. That's what it's about. So appreciate what you're doing. You've got to do it. I understand the law. But it's far not as important as farming, I guarantee you. Never be important as farming. You can't live without agriculture.
If I could just, I do want to, if I said that it was more important than farming, I didn't intend to.
No, you implied that farming.
Apologize profusely, quick.
You're
quick. He's taking it personal.
Yeah. Well, I do take it.
They like farmers, Sam.
Yeah, well, he does every time he eats, three times a day at least.
More than that.
And I guarantee you, you don't go to the solar panels to eat.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something else about your solar panels. Your solar panels We cannot store electricity. I don't know what these poor folks are going to do after dark.
Sam, they're panning by the hour. Come on.
I know. Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have a question. You sent a notice out for the meeting. Did you let them know that there would be hearings on this? I don't see any notice of hearing these folks.
The county planning office sends out the letter.
Yeah, I know, but you said you sent this, Bill Andrews sent this out to all these people about the meeting.
About the open house, yes.
The open house, but it didn't say anything about the hearings. So in other words, people outside of the 200 feet area did not know about the, were not notified about the hearings.
Well, they wouldn't have gotten notice. No, you're correct. We did not notify them of the hearing. The county did not notify them because if they were beyond 200 feet, I believe the county published this notice in the newspaper and also the property was posted. So to that extent, they did receive notice.
I've had some experience with other facilities and people came too late and said they were not notified and very, very sad situation. So that's why I'm checking.
Well, these are being very quiet compared to that one down the horse.
It'll be quiet. Yeah. It'll be quiet.
Yeah.
Anything else for me?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Mark Nielsen. I'm Vice President of Staff Services for Delaware Electric Cooperative. With me today is Walt Hoy, our civil engineer with Century Engineering. And hopefully you've had a chance, this is the booklet we provided, and hopefully you've had a chance to at least breeze through that. What I'll do this afternoon is briefly go through it. I won't go through the whole thing, but I'll be certainly glad to answer any questions you may have regarding the booklet or any information that I go over this afternoon. But start off with the project itself is located, Walt, if you could point that out, about just a little over a mile outside the town of Georgetown on East Trap Pond Road. As Terry mentioned, it's 40 acres out of a 163-acre parcel located on the east side of Trap Pond Road. As we went through this process in our compliance requirements for the RPS of the state of Delaware and trying to find a site for solar, we looked all over Kent and Sussex counties, and despite the fact that you might think that there's plenty of land out there for available, there's certain requirements that we have to have for the site. The first requirement is that it has to be in close proximity to our substation. Mm-hmm. We have a substation located about a half mile away called Pepper Substation, just down Substation Road. That's about a half mile away. The further away we get, the greater the interconnection cost to build lines out to it, and we have losses because we generate that electricity, send it back to Pepper Substation, and there's line loss. There's resistance there, so we lose the electrons as we transmit that power from the solar field to the substation and then back out onto the lines to the people in the general area. So we had to have a large enough parcel. We looked around Kent and Sussex counties and we really couldn't find anything in close proximity to the substation. Obviously this was cleared, which was a requirement. It's not shaded by any other trees, so we could use it for a solar field, and obviously it was for sale. So that's kind of the site selection process that we went through there. We entered into a contract with the present property owner that's conditional upon us getting all of our permits and processes and approvals. The next slide that we've got, and this is phase one. As we said, there's going to be 40 acres. The first phase is 4 megawatts, or roughly 16,000 solar panels. It's got a single entrance. It's 38 feet wide, approved by DelDOT down the bottom corner. That goes into the site that's surrounded by an 8-foot chain link fence with a barbed wire top, just for security purposes. The roads have been approved by the fire marshal. Those are gravel roads 16 feet wide. The turning radiuses have as well been approved by the fire marshal so that they can get fire trucks in and out of there without having any issues. You'll see four little blocks interior on the interior road. That is where we'll have what we call inverters and transformers. The panels themselves develop or convert sunlight into DC electricity. The DC is then converted to AC, or what you use in homes, businesses on power lines. So those are what convert the DC to AC, put it in transformers, and goes out onto the power lines. And there will be four of those in phase one.
Will there be any noise associated with that?
No. Now, the transformer themselves, if you've ever seen a transformer, if you ever have a little square box in your front yard, if you get close to it, you can hear a hum. There will be transformers interior. I think the closest one is 284 feet from the road. Mm-hmm. So you won't be able to hear anything from the perimeter. As I said, it's surrounded by a chain link fence. The first phase will be completed in about 3 to 4 months, depending on permits and all that process. As far as phase two is the remainder of the property, and that's about 3 megawatts or 12,000 solar panels. We hope to complete that in about 5 years. That is sort of subject to, as Mr. Wilson pointed out, the legislature every year seems to tinker with the RPS requirements and our requirements for solar. So for some reason, they froze the RPS and didn't require us to do any more solar. We may not build that for some time, or they may increase it, and we may have to build it fairly quickly. So, but we have set about a five-year time frame for building that out. Again, that will be surrounded by a chain-link fence, and that will have 3 inverter transformer locations on the interior roads as well. Okay, next one. I don't know whether you've seen a solar farm or not, but if you've seen one, they pretty much all look the same. It's just row upon row of solar panels. This solar panel installation is located in Frederica at the Kent County Wastewater Treatment Facility. Actually, we'll be using virtually the same solar panels, although you can't really tell the difference. But those are the solar panels themselves. This particular site, the way they built this, they have a gravel or stone base throughout the solar field. For the co-op, what we're going to be developing is, or putting down, is what we call buffalo grass. It's a low-growing sort of grass weed that requires very little maintenance, maybe mowing about once a year. So that's basically how it's going to look.
That's your surface? That's what it's going to be? Your surface?
Yes. Gravel roads with an interior or some type of grass, low-growing grass.
Hey, we could use white stone and get a reflection, get double power out.
That would be coming off the back of the panels.
Okay. Well, double-sided.
Sam, stick to farming, not this kind of farming.
I'm not supposed to stick to engineering, right?
There will not be any runoff into the tax ditch, which borders the south. As Terry had mentioned, we'll have vehicle maintenance basically once a month, no more than once a week. We have on a regular scheduled maintenance program for those types of, for our substations. A vehicle goes in once a month to do a visual inspection. We put once a week just to be on the conservative side. There is no noise, no emissions, no odor, no pollution, no dust. They just sit there. They're fairly benign panels and instruments. There's not a whole lot to them at all. Okay. At this point, what I'd like to do, based upon some comments that were made at the planning and zoning here, I'd like to address some of those comments and concerns that were addressed at that point in time. And what I have, the previous panels that you saw are all actual enlargements of what you have in your packet, in the information packet. The next 3 panels, what I have here, are new panels that I would like to have introduced into the record. And I believe I have 10 copies.
New type of panel. Is he going to have to get permission every time he changes the kind of panel that he wants to use?
One thing I would like to correct before I jump into this, at the planning and zoning hearing, there was a question as to the height of the panels. At that point in time, I stated that they were going to be 5 feet, 10 inches tall. Mm-hmm. Since that time, we've had a correction. The developer was in the process of bidding out the racking system, which is the framework, the aluminum steel framework that the panels sit on. They have finalized that contract, and the panels will be about 6 feet, 4 inches. So there's about a 6-inch difference from what I stated at planning and zoning and to what those will actually be. So it'll be about 6 feet, 4 inches tall. The other correction I wanted to make, and I made a call to the Sussex County Utility Planning Division. For some reason, there's a document that they submitted, I believe the day before planning and zoning, that indicated we would have a septic system. There will be no septic system on the site. None whatsoever. Okay, the first diagram that we have is references EMF, electromagnetic fields. And one of the concerns that was brought up was this would increase electromagnetic fields, which if you look on the internet and do some searches, there are some studies that say that it may cause leukemia in children. There are other studies that say it doesn't do absolutely anything. It's not precise. There's never been a firm conclusion as to what causes cancer and whether electricity does. Now, to put this in perspective, these are DC-generated electricity panels. I mean, they generate DC, direct current electricity. But to kind of put it into perspective without going into exactly the electromagnetic fields, what we did, we took some measurements to kind of give you a sense of what the measurements are. And the first top left corner is a pad-mounted transformer similar to what you would see at a substation. And the reading there is 0.1. That's 0.1 milligauss. And I won't go into the definitions there, but it's named after the inventor and whatnot. But I think the perspective will show you something fairly clearly. 0.1 milligauss, and that's about 20 feet away. Now, keep in mind the transformers that we're going to have in the substation or in the solar field are about 284 feet away. The pad mount transformer close up, about 6 feet away, is about 2.9 milligauss. And the Bridgeville Solar Farm, that's a solar farm up near Bridgeville at the Purdue plant, that measured zero. So our solar system, our solar field, will be very similar to that on a larger scale, but generally there's no emission of EMF from a solar field. It generates DC electricity, and DC electricity doesn't generate any EMF. Now, to put that in comparison, if you look at home residential type of applications or what you might find in a home, the bottom left-hand corner is a measurement of a microwave in use, and that registers 39.2, so obviously considerably higher than anything that we would have at the solar farm. The center picture is of a personal computer CPU tower that's at 40.4, and 14.8 is the last one, and that's in front of a flat-screen TV. So I think the idea was just to show you that EMF is out there. There's nothing conclusive about it, what it may do to human health, but in general, people are exposed to much more EMF inside their home than they would be to anything within the solar farm. The solar farm itself is actually, I think the nearest residence is about 682 feet away from the solar farm. So that is the one concern. The other concern is the distance and the visual impact of the solar farm. And I guess what I'll let Walt do, this is Walt's diagram, and I'll let Walt explain that. Walt, if you want to come up. And
good afternoon. My name is Walter Hoy. Milford, Delaware. I work in Century Engineering for Delaware Electric Cooperative. And what we attempted to illustrate here is what the solar panels would look like at a distance of approximately 730 feet from the site. And solar panels are sitting at 6 foot 4 inches tall. And at that distance, they would be the equivalent height of you holding your pencil out in front of you at 24 inches. And you would basically block the view of the solar panels. And it's hard to believe, but simple mathematics proved it pretty much true. And that's really what we're trying to show in this illustration. We have a solar panel on the right, gentleman standing on the left, at a distance of 730 feet, a blow up view. How close it is. And it's uncanny, but it's true. Okay, not going to do that this way.
I think. The last display board that we have up is sort of a general overview. And again, this is a new display that we have and one that you have a copy of. It shows various measurements from the solar field to various residences and roads. The nearest residence, I believe, is 684 feet from the solar farm. That's the nearest residence, occupied residence. There is an abandoned farmhouse that is to the north, but that is dilapidated and no longer occupied. Oh, okay. 622
feet. The land around it is AR1, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Agricultural residential. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. As Terry had mentioned, there were a couple of concerns voiced at Planning and Zoning regarding the impact that the solar farm would have on neighboring properties, and I'm certainly not a subject matter expert on value of properties and the impact that it might have. So what I've asked is Mr. Randall Handy. I'd like to introduce him and ask him to come forward and opine on his experience with the valuation of properties.
He is an expert.
Thank you.
Is he more than 50 miles from home?
Yep, he's an expert.
Excuse me. Good afternoon, gentlemen and lady. I have been retained by the Delaware Electric Cooperative to...
Mr. Handy, could you please give your name and address for the record?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. My name is Randall Handy. I'm the owner of a real estate brokerage firm and real estate company in Seaford, Delaware, located at 1 North Point Commons in Seaford. On U.S. Route 13.
Thank you.
Okay. as I was saying, Delaware Electric Cooperative has retained me to provide an opinion and comment on the impact of the solar farm, proposed solar farm, on surrounding properties, primarily the residential properties. And what I'd like to do is, and this is copies of what I've already passed out, is read this letter into the record and certainly respond to any questions that you might have. So in response to their request, meaning Delaware Electric Cooperative, I have reviewed the documents you provided and inspected the site of a proposed 7-megawatt solar electric generating facility to be located on a 40-acre parcel of unimproved farmland lying on the southeasterly side of East Trap Pond Road near Georgetown, Delaware. I have also reviewed the location of certain residential properties lying on the southerly side of Substation Road and at the corners with East Trap Pond Road with respect to the proposed solar project. It should be noted that this analysis is not intended to be an appraisal of a specific property, but rather a subjective opinion as to the impact of the proposed solar electric generating facility on nearby residential properties. The purpose of this letter, combined with my oral testimony at the Sussex County Council, is to provide my assessment of the impact, if any, of the solar farm project on the market value of certain surrounding properties. In preface to my opinion, I should state that I have been a Delaware licensed real estate broker full-time since 1975. A little hard for me to believe that, but I was awarded the designation of Certified Commercial Investment Member, CCIM, in 1982 by a division of the National Association of Realtors as the equivalent of a master's degree in real estate. I've also been licensed by the state of Delaware as a general certified real property appraiser since 1990. Sussex County Council has previously been provided all the documents and studies that have been performed on behalf of Delaware Electric Cooperative regarding the proposed solar farm, so I will not be repeating this here. There are 5 residential properties in question that are all located between 750 and 850 feet from the nearest edge of the solar panel. I might comment that these measurements were, I did not physically tape it, but I used Google Earth to measure them, so my numbers are slightly different than the numbers that were presented by Mr. Nielsen. But they're essentially the same. The top edge of the installed solar panels is reported to be no higher than 6.5 feet above ground level and 1.5 feet below the top of the perimeter chain link fencing. At 8 feet above existing ground level at the residential parcels, the line of sight window, as the gentleman was just talking about, will be quite narrow. The potential visual impact of the proposed use would be inversely proportional to the distance from the subject property. There are 3 accepted methods of appraising real property, namely the market or sales comparison approach, the cost approach, and the income approach. In estimating the change in market value resulting from an external influence, the market comparison approach is the most appropriate. One of the most reliable techniques for extracting for extracting adjustments from the market is the so-called matched pairs analysis. This technique involves the selection of two sales, one of which has the item or feature for which the adjustment is sought. And if a single difference exists between two sales, the difference in the sales price can be attributable to that specific feature. The installation of solar farms on the East Coast of the United States is relatively new. The sale of residential properties within line of sight of these parcels is even more limited. And I'll make an insert a comment saying that I did quite a bit of research on the internet, talked to a number of broker acquaintances that would be possibly in this area of expertise, and none of them could provide any information, direct information on the influence of properties by on recent sales. So as a result, I have not been able to locate a representative number of recent comparable sales to apply this technique. Therefore, a quantitative analysis is not possible from the data available. This leaves only a qualitative analysis, relying on my many years of experience and the so-called reasonable man theory of English common law. This means that most good decisions are based on common sense and what would a reasonable man do or say in this case. I am not suggesting that the impact of the proposed solar farm on residential properties will be zero, but in my professional opinion, the impact on property values will be minimal. It should be noted that the current zoning of the parcel is AR1, agricultural residential, which would allow uses such as commercial chicken houses, grain storage facilities, and manure housing structures. These uses would be considered by most people to be more objectionable than a proposed solar farm on the subject site. In closing, the small towns of Sussex County, as well as most of Delmarva, lend themselves as very appropriate locations for solar electric generating facilities. Previous testimony indicated that this panel farm would support about 850 homes. And I haven't made an exact count, but that's about how many homes are in the corporate limits of Georgetown, I would suspect. So that's, you can assume that could be duplicated at small towns around the entire peninsula. In my opinion, the low level of environmental impact and low cost of a supplemental power source are very positive factors. That is the conciseness of my report. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer.
Has anybody along the way talked about privacy fencing? Or is it all going to be chain link, open chain link fence?
At this point, it's going to be all open chain link.
Okay. Does it have to be?
I believe that would have to go back through planning and zoning, if I'm not mistaken.
Just wondering. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nothing wrong with the sight of it. It's all certainly in the car.
Just a question.
No more questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Handy.
Just a couple final points on the display board, the photographs. Photograph one is a photograph of the site at the corner of the site looking south towards Substation Road. That's right at the corner of the tax ditch and the corner of the property. To sort of give you a perspective of that view looking south towards Substation Road. The second photograph is basically in the center of the site looking south again towards Substation Road. That's looking basically towards those residences that face along the substation road that would face the site. The last and third photograph is a photograph that we took of the Bridgeville Solar Farm that's located in Bridgeville near the Purdue plant. That solar field, although smaller, is generally about the same size or same It's smaller in scale, but it's basically the same height and description of a solar panel. And that's taken from about 730 feet away across a bean field, with beans being about a foot tall. So that's generally the view from Substation Road north to the site once the site would be built. So, yeah. Last but not least, there was a concern expressed at Planning and Zoning about leaching of lead from the panels. And for show and tell, what I have is an actual mini, what we call a mini module, which is just for display purposes. There is some lead in the panels themselves, and the lead is confined to these little soldered tabs. These are the solar cells themselves, and the connections are soldered together. And there was a concern expressed by one nearby resident that this lead would come, I guess, somehow free from the panel and get into the water source. Keep in mind, the lead is contained or sandwiched and encapsulated between a tempered glass front and a plastic backing. So the lead can't escape. It's a solid, it's not a liquid, so it can't escape. The only way it could escape would be for the panel to delaminate or the panel to be crushed. Now, the panels themselves have a 25-year warranty. And again, we're going to be doing monthly inspections on these. We're going to be going down the roads and doing monthly inspections. So if there's any delamination or deterioration in panels, we can catch that through the visual inspection. We also have an online monitoring system, so if there's a degradation in the output of the panels, we can tell that and be a little bit more proactive and go out there and find out if there's something going on. So we're not going to let the panels deteriorate. If those lead soldered joints become defective, then we lose production and we lose generation kilowatt hours, and we can't meet some of our obligations for the RPS. So that is what we've got on the lead panels, or the lead in the panels. So with that, I'll conclude my comments, and if you have any questions or concerns, I'd be glad to take those.
Questions?
If I could just, maybe at the risk of overkill, I just want to make sure that the...
Identify yourself
again. I'm sorry, Terry J. Work again, the attorney. I just want to emphasize that when you look at photograph two, another one of the concerns that was voiced at the Planning Commission was the aesthetic impact of the view from their house. And particularly looking at photograph number two and putting that together with the diagram that was prepared by the engineer, this is looking from the southern boundary of the subject property towards the houses on Substation Road. And you can see that those houses, what's a house, 24 feet high? You can see the perspective. So try to imagine looking from Substation Road towards the facility where the highest thing is going to be like 6 feet 10 inches. So that's really what the point of that whole display was. Thank you very much.
How's the energy expert place back there? So the energy experts just came in, sitting back there in the backyard listening.
He's the boss.
I guess no more questions, Council.
No. Any other questions? Mr. Jaywork, do you have any other comments or anyone else to testify?
I'm going to ask you one question. It's sort of silly, but how long, what do these homes do after midnight as far as getting electricity from the solar panel?
Well, they certainly aren't going to get it from the solar panels. That's going to have to come from traditional generation sources that we have. So they'll be able to provide power during the peak of the day, and it sort of trails off in the afternoon, late sunshine, and certainly in the morning.
So we know we can't do away with our power plants, can we? And we also know that that we can't store electricity. So we're really, I don't know how far ahead we're getting here. I don't know if the Delaware General Assembly should be more lobbied and try to educate those folks up there to make these dumb laws, that they'll be a little smarter in what they're doing here. I really don't think they know exactly the direction they're taking. I think it sounds good. It really does sound good. We're getting away from all this coal smoke and all the other stuff. But in all reality, this is not a real dependable electrical source. Only in daytime. And only when it comes cold weather and you don't get no sun, we wouldn't get much light or much heat from this contraption here.
That's correct. As Terry pointed out early in his first part of the presentation when he introduced the project, we're doing this to comply with state mandated requirements. So
and I understand mandates. We get them every once in a while.
Yeah. I'm not pointing a finger at you for bringing this before us, but only that you had to do it. It's only had to be done. I think the problem is long before you got here. So.
Okay.
And, you know, this concludes our presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support of this application?
My name is John Sergovic. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I represent the seller, Heritage Lands, LLC. And my client's in support of the application, and my client will retain a 120 acres approximately, and my client's intentions are to develop it eventually residentially when the market gets a little bit better, and my client sees that the solar farm, they believe, will actually enhance their ability to market their property because of the environmental benefits that are perceived by solar panels.
How does that work?
It's my client's belief.
Okay.
If his clients believe that, he believes
that's it. Right.
Any
correct.
Any other questions of Mr. Sergovic? Thank you. Anyone else to speak in support? Anyone else to speak in opposition to this application? Sir, come forward and identify yourself and give your address.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Paul Reed. I live on 19728 Substation Road. And we'll start off with when this whole thing started, there was supposed to be a public notice put out for a public hearing. That was stuck behind the big realtor sign in the weeds. And the only reason that the neighbors in our area, which there's a lot of neighbors, it's just not these blank fields that you're looking at. I picked the sign up, put it out against the road so people could actually physically see it, that there was a public hearing. And they only got to visualize that for 1 week before we came to the planning and zoning meeting. The problem I'm having is with everything that they're telling you, and it's not fair what they're telling you. They're telling you this isn't going to bother anybody, but it is. My home is, people can do wonders with photography. But my home, you can stand on my front porch and you're all welcome to come out to my house. And I'm going to be looking at 28,000 solar panels right in front of my house and a 10-foot chain link fence with barbed wire wrapped around it the rest of my life, because there's no one in here that's going to buy my property at all, because nobody here is going to want to look at that. So the power company said, well, planning and zoning said to them, well, is there another option that you can have? And they said, no, this is the only place that we can put it, because we have to be as close to a sub panel as we possibly can. And that's not so. Right on Route 9, there is 60-some acres for sale, adjacent right to the substation. So if this has got to be a cost thing, and it's better the closer you are to the substation, wouldn't that be a better field to put it in? And it's for sale. And I want to back up just a minute. When they put the notices out and they said they sent everybody letters, I've talked to everybody in my neighborhood, and none of us got letters except for one lady, and that was Mrs. Workman. All the other letters, if you look on your thing, if it's the right piece of paper, Paul Reed is not on there. I never got an invite to this thing that they had that four people showed up to, and they never gave the names of the four people. They just said that they were all for it. I think this is totally wrong. And if you look at your piece of paper, you got majority of the addresses are from Lewis and Harrington. Now they tell me they only have to send it out within 200 feet. Well, that's miles. That's not 200 feet. So I think that's not right either. So I took the time to find out about the land that is where they're able to put these, and it is for sale. At the time of the meeting, when it was the last meeting they had, the realtor was here and said that everybody in Lewis would be tickled to death or love to have this in front of their house. Well, I took the opportunity to find this out. Right there at Hopkins Dairy Farm, right across the street from Hopkins Dairy Farm, it's Creamy, where you buy ice cream. Delaware Electric Co-op has a huge substation. Right directly behind it is hundreds of acres. I'm sure for millions of dollars that those people would be tickled death to sell that land to them to put that there, and it'd be right adjacent to that. And the people in Lewis, they can look at it all they want, because evidently it doesn't bother the value of your home, but I believe it does. I'm going to try to make this really fast, so I'm not wasting your time. When we get to the how can they prove, with all that they're putting in there, that there is no radiation whatsoever? How can they prove that the lead from 28,000 of these units aren't going to deteriorate and leach into the ground? I found the information out about years ago. Lead paint was totally taken off the shelf. Any type of lead cannot be put in paint, any type of paint products, because of lead poisoning. Not only that, Fisher-Price recalled 2 years ago all their toys. That cost them millions because of the lead that was in the paint of these toys that they found out about. That's just an inkling of what is going to go in the ground with these 28,000 solar panels. Not only that, is the ground that they want to do this on doesn't even perk. So land that doesn't perk, you can't put a standard septic system on it, because the sewer would leach into the ground too fast. So how fast is all this lead going to leach into the ground and get into our water system? The adjacent farmland that's owned by the workmen's, what's this going to do to their crops? Is the lead going to get into the corn, the soybeans, and et cetera? My concern is not just the value of my home, but my neighbors and who would ever want to buy it. And my concern is about the cancer that's going to come from this and the lead poisoning. It's easy for people that don't live in this area to say it's a wonderful thing. And evidently it may be to them, because they're not having to look at it. Myself, I built my house in 1986. Now, it looks like a brand new home because I take very good care of it. I've worked my whole life to get what I have. And so has my neighbors. And I think before anybody makes any decisions, they should go out and visually see where they're putting this. Right across is this old farmhouse that's abandoned. Right across the street from it is a house that is owned. People live in it. They can physically walk across the street, and there's going to be a great big fence with barbed wire wrapped around it. So I think before anybody makes any kind of decision, they should look at these things. I'm the type of person, I was a scoutmaster for Georgetown for 15 years, okay? I put in my time. I think there's other options. I took the time to research and add to the landfill. We have mountains that we cannot even use anymore. They're just physically just sitting there. We could take these units and put them up on top of those mountains. There's no trees that's going to distract the light that's going to go to these units. If there's any leakage of lead, these mountains were constructed by companies from out in Texas. They're actually a filter system, and it wouldn't bother the water. It's not going to bother people's investments. It's not going to be an eyesore, and so on. I think people need to start really taking consideration about other people's belongings. and how it's going to affect them. And not just because it's just a few of us is okay. They're talking about green energy. I'm all for that. When I was a kid growing up, right in Milton, there was a mill that was down there, the old wood mills that turned. You could physically put a mill back in each town because there's dams in Lewis all around. These mills are very attractive things to look at. People love to look at them and watch them turn and on and on and on. Each one mill would generate enough electricity just for a whole town. So you're talking a building that people would love to see using energy that God gave us, and it's not affecting anybody. I think there's nothing wrong with green energy and nothing against what Delaware Electric Co-op is trying to do. And I understand that they're probably under pressure from the government to do things to save energy. But shouldn't we stop and think about how we're going to do this so it's a positive thing and not a negative thing? And back to the beginning of the farm, I moved out there because I love farmland. And I love tractors, and I love the dust, and I love chicken manure. And I'd much rather hear the tractors running, see the deer running across the field and the geese landing and all that, than 28,000 solar panels that I get to look at and a chain link fence with barbed wire. Now, as far as I know, I haven't done a thing wrong in my life. And I don't think I'm in jail. And I don't want to get up in the morning and walk out and think I'm there. That's all I have to say.
How far is your house from the site?
Is it on that left-hand side there? Anywhere?
Well, the way they took the picture.
Mm-hmm. Where would you be?
Put it this way. This picture here, here's my home. They're taking this picture clean over from Parker Road.
Where is it on the other map?
On the big map
the
next
left,
to you.
To the left, right. Okay. Where are you there?
Overhead, where's your house?
East Trap Pond. Substation Road. I'm right here. Right here is my home.
I can't see it.
But move over a little. She can't see it.
Okay.
I'd be more than happy to grab it.
Yeah, I just couldn't see you were standing in front of your okay.
She's got bad eyes. She's older.
Yeah, bad
She's
eyes.
She's older than the
bad
rest of
hair,
us.
Bad ears. Everything.
All you have is
okay.
This little bit of
yes,
field right
yes.
here.
And your house is where?
This is my home.
Okay.
This is Mrs.
Okay.
Workman's home.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the homes. And none of these people even got letters to even come
mm-hmm.
to these
yeah.
things. Okay? Over on this side, see right here? This house is, when they start this next phase, these people here get to walk right straight into this right across the road. It's just a country road. Okay? And then they're going to talk about filling all this in. And then they said, and if they don't fill this in, they're going to build homes. Well, who in the world is going to build a home and want to look at that? You see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. What makes you think lead is going to leak out of them?
Well, the lead corners on anything. I've been building homes all my life. And solar panels was the first thing that they came out with. And we put on homes, the wealthier people that could afford them, Mr. Richardson, we put them on some on his
mm-hmm.
home, Walt Lehman, we put them on his home. They really didn't do what they said that they were going to do. We end up having to take and remove them, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to seal the joints, they have to be done with lead.
Have to be.
You can't use copper because copper will oxidize the metal and eat through it. So the lead at a certain time is going to break down. There's no way of stopping it. And you know as well as I do, they're not going to come out and monitor these things every day and every week and every month and every year. They're going to stick them there. And as this stuff, if you can imagine 28,000 of these things leaching into the ground, how long is it before the lead gets into our water system? And it's not going to be long. Not just that, is all the fields that are adjacent, right, that butts right to it, is owned by the workmen's. Now, if it is in our water, what's stopping that from being in the corn, the soybeans, the wheat? Because the root system is going to suck up what the water has in it. And I don't know
Thank
what
you.
Else to say. But I hope I didn't waste your time, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council?
No, I'm question out.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? No one has responded, so we can close the public hearing. No.
We'll close public hearing, close public comment.
Yeah, I need some time. I want to look at it.
Ask you to read the short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar electric generation facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 40 acres more or less, and that's part of tax map 135-22-23.
Yeah, I would like some time. I want to look into some of these things that were said here.
Are you going to make a motion to
yes,
defer?
Yes, I'll make a motion that we defer this.
And a second to defer. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Now then, we'll revert back to supposed to be the first one. This gentleman here for CU 1933.
That was Mr. Giblin.
Giblin.
Yes, I'd like to apologize for this morning. We had it all on the 22nd for some reason. Therefore, I had two neighbors. They said, if you'd like to speak to them by phone, they'd be more than happy to talk to you. Basically, I'm just coming up to take concern with some of my one neighbor's things that he brought forth for the last hearing that we had. Basically, if you look at where the business is going to be, you cannot even see it from Route 17. That's why basically we operated there for so long and nobody knew about us. I thought we were done years ago. The second thing is he brought up about repoing. We don't do repos. I will never do repos because I just don't get into that line of business. It is true that a sign would probably help me direct them back. He also brought up that he had people pulling down his driveway to see if it was us. I feel in my personal opinion that would be almost impossible because he has a JDM builder sign out there, then he has a big Jim's Bait and Tackle shop out there, and then he has a big lighted sign with an arrow board facing, and his building's right there at the main road with 10 or 15 signs on it that says everything about tackle and engines and all. So I would find it hard for anybody to turn down that driveway thinking it's a towing company. As far as, you know, his daughter, he only gets his daughter every so often. Her mom has custody. The other thing is he's already put a fence majority of the way up, a privacy fence between our properties. And if he chooses not to finish it out, I will. And about the impounds and stuff like that, we don't release after dusk. So pretty much 5 o'clock, we're done. I would like to have a private life too. We tell them to come back the next day between 8 and 5 if they'd like to get their vehicle.
So if somebody calls up and needs a tow, it's 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, no, no. We operate the towing business 24/7. Okay.
Right.
But so I'm just saying, if I bring your car in and you need to get into it for any reason, you cannot do it between 8 and 5. Our tow trucks are not all stationed at my property. We have drivers stationed in the area. I have one up in Lewis that handles Lewis Rehoboth. He leaves from his residence. I have one down in Ocean City, one in Pittsville. We have them stationed elsewhere. My closest neighbor, which wanted to be here, but he couldn't make it because I screwed the date up for him. But we almost share a driveway. And he comes in my driveway, hooks around, and parks in his thing. He doesn't have a problem with it. He said he'd be more than happy to talk to you if you want to call him. The ones across the street don't have a problem with it. We're not really working on anything after 5 o'clock. I mean, we hang out at the shop and do like guys do, you know, talk about race cars, things like that, and camaraderie. But pretty much around 7 o'clock, the doors are pulled, everybody's gone, and we're just sitting in the house.
And how long have you lived there?
Good question. 17, 18 years.
And you've been doing this
for a number of years?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing this for 8-10 years.
Okay.
And never had a complaint prior to that. We had a little sign out there. When he applied for his, that's when he seen our sign, and that's when all this developed. I thought when Don Hastings had that area, we had this all worked out. But I know I didn't show up for one of these meetings, and I just found out that if you're not here, it gets turned down. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the dilemma back then.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any questions anybody needs answered.
I have to look back at this again.
Yeah, because I wanted to bring the photos and everything, and I kind of beat it off.
Was there a condition that you live there? And is that one of the conditions?
No, it's not a condition, but so, we do live there. Mm-hmm. We're on site.
But you could move out and still run the business, is that right?
Well, I wouldn't, but that's...
Just wondering.
You could, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't.
A conditional use runs with the land.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not conditioned on him living there.
No, it's a tough one to require.
So it's
my home. It's been my home for 18 years. It's not really...
But we've had people move out and the neighbors don't like it because it turns into total commercial.
Oh, I know, yeah,
you know,
no.
And they're
no.
not there to watch it anymore, so...
Yeah, no, everything's hands-on. I'm pretty much there. But, you know, basically that's it. You know, we tow for some area police departments.
No repairs.
I'm sorry, what?
No repairs.
No,
just
it
towing.
Is an auto shop and towing. Auto shop runs from 8 to 4:30.
Are you familiar with coastal towing on...
Yes.
Yes, that really grew.
Well, this ain't growing. We're subsidized to so much room, and that's what it's going to be. I mean, I've turned down some other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Delaware State Police would like me to tow for them. I turned them down. I have the package sitting on my desk. It's just going to revolve too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to stay with me and a couple of drivers and not have 50 trucks running all over the county. So, but I wish I could have brought the pictures because I want to take pictures of my residence where you can't see nothing but the blue roof, actually, of the building way in the back. But as far as the comment of him... You know, people pulling up his driveway. I have people turn around my driveway every day. 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. It doesn't bother me. But, you know, as far as I'm driving, anybody come to get a car, and they ride by a JDM Builder sign, a big Jim's Bait and Tackle sign, and then right at the entrance to the driveway, a big lighted sign that stays on 24/7 with an arrow flashing all night. It says Jim's Bait and Tackle. And then they pull in, they see a big building with all these other signs on it. I mean, it would be almost impossible for someone to think that's a towing business, drive down that driveway.
You're okay with not selling any vehicles?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not selling any. Mm-hmm. I mean, we sell them. I do sell tow trucks. They're basically listed on Craigslist now. I've been out sitting out in front of your yard. Doesn't really sell much. I had 2 pieces of equipment sitting out there. They sit out there for months. We just moved them to the back. Listed on Craigslist, 2 days later, the one was gone, so I'm keeping the other one, so I moved that to the back. It was sell one and keep one.
Your impound yard, it's not surrounded now with a fence, right?
No, it's not.
But we're
getting prices right now once this is all.
Because the planning and zoning has recommended that occur.
Yeah, okay. That's not a problem. I got prices coming from long fence, I think it is.
What kind of fence? What would it look like?
6 foot.
Uh-huh.
The
privacy fence?
No, it's just regular fence. I can put privacy. It doesn't matter to me. But, I mean, it's just chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
You won't even see it. It's so far back, you won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rudd?
Yeah.
I do have a question. Reading the conditional use that it's advertised, it doesn't mention anything at all about impound yards. And it doesn't mention service shops, which he mentioned he already has.
Right. Is there an issue?
Where?
It says towing and landscaping.
Yeah. I mean,
no, on the original, it said towing, landscaping, auto shop. On the original, and when we come,
I'm reading what we're dealing with here.
I'm just saying when we come up with it at first, it was brought up at the first meeting that it was going to be a repair shop too, and they said, "Oh, okay." But that's what I have on my papers. If I would,
now, I guess my question is, if it whether he's got a repair shop or not, if he's going to have a repair shop, and he wants to have an impound yard, doesn't that need to be listed with a conditional use application so the public knows that?
It should be. I don't know what the actual... I'm looking at the same information you have. I don't know what the actual application or the...
Shane will read it here. Let's see what he's got.
The actual application for proposed conditional use says towing, service, and landscape business.
What went in the paper?
That
Is that how it went?
The ad, the notice, the mm-hmm. short title that everyone has, mm-hmm. there is not a comma between towing and service.
It, no, right. It says a towing service. A
towing service
and landscape,
and landscape business. Mm-hmm.
So that's deceptive, really.
So the question would be, do you feel, Shane, coming planning zoning, do you feel it's been advertised properly for what we're dealing with here today? And then my question then would, Mr. Rutt, is if there was an error where the comma went, I guess somebody looked at towing, some other people call it towing service, but he was saying towing and service. So, somebody needs to clear this up that we all talk, or we're all talking from the same page. Is it properly advertised or is it not?
I would say the notice should have had the comma in there, because if you look at, mm-hmm. if you think a towing service,
yes,
I mean, you're thinking of tow trucks.
That's all I thought.
But if you're saying towing, comma, service, which could mean repairs and landscaping, that's a different.
And nowhere does it mention
you say there's a comma
impound
on here.
On the application,
no.
Yes.
On the application.
Unless impound is part
of the
towing.
Do you have your
what you have in front of you.
And the service, people's vehicles might stay overnight to be repaired the next day.
Okay, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we have to.
That's the application.
Pass on
that's not what went in the paper. What in the paper is what we have right here. No comma.
Yeah, the option would be to.
No comma.
The option would be to re-advertise and have new hearings with the proper advertising on it.
Yep. Are we could pass it what the advertising says, and then if he wants to go further, that's up to him.
Why don't we, okay, we'll look at this and maybe we'll take a gander at it.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, try to iron this out. Maybe not iron it out right now, but we'll maybe review it when you have clear mind, so we'll see where we end up, but that's where I might end up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to get a clarification.
Yeah.
We got to hear the opposition here and stuff.
Do you have anything else, Mr. Gibbons?
You see what I said?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, I tried to do it the best I could with what I knew about.
Yeah.
Did it on my own. I had mag towing and I put slash service. And then he asked me, is that going to be, the guy I handed to asked me, is going to be all new service. I guess I should have wrote that in there.
My concern is that we give the public
proper
correct information.
Yeah.
So if somebody does want to be opposed or in favor of it.
Well, believe it or not, I mean, I'm not holding
that.
It against
yeah.
it anyway, because the two that
no,
aren't here are for it.
Sure.
And they're my neighbors. So I messed up by giving them the wrong date. I mean, you know, so if it's got to continue to another hearing, I would love to have them here. So it's not a big issue.
Well, we usually don't leave the record open, but we could, I guess, if that's a possibility. But anyway, let's see where we end up.
Okay.
Keep on going, Mr. Rutt, please.
Okay, do you have anything further?
Yes.
I just questioned if you have any questions.
Okay, any other questions from
council?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the application? Anyone here to speak in opposition to the application? Sir?
Good afternoon. Hi, I'm James Mershon. I'm the one who lives next door to him. First of all, a couple things. I built my house 12 years ago. He moved in the next year, so he hasn't lived there 17 or 18 years. He's been there 10 or 11 years. I've been there longer. Every one of you, if you have a GPS, go put his address in your GPS. It gives you my driveway. I guess I'll have to start taking pictures of the cars coming in and down my driveway when the people come to my house at night. I've had taxis at 10:30 at night knock on my door. That's not a lie. That's a fact. I mean, he can sugarcoat it all he wants because nobody else is there to see it, but I'm there.
You on the east side of him or the west?
South.
South side. Okay, fine. That's
my property
enough.
Backs up to all of his stuff.
Yeah, gotcha.
The neighbor on the other side, they've shared stuff with his property for years, so.
So are you suggesting he should put a sign up so to be sure to go to his place?
Well, he had a sign originally, but because, as he told you, you can't see his business back there. He's been doing it illegally for years. He didn't want a sign. He actually told me in a discussion that he called the state to find out how big a sign had to be to get a permit, and he purposely had a sign that said Mag Towing and Auto Center Mate that was smaller than that, so not to draw attention to the fact. He had the sign, flag out there for a while until he got, obviously, in violation for all this. I'm a construction company. If I start a job without a permit or a license, I get shut down. I'm not allowed to continue building that house or that job until everything's resolved, first of all. Unlike, you know, and I guess he's allowed to keep on doing the services that he's doing, even though it's illegal. You cannot run a impound yard out of a residential area. Not doesn't have a fence around it. Only fence between him and me is me. I don't think I should be obligated to have to provide a fencing for my safety. I saw vehicles are not just towed in there for work done. There was a Bethany Resort furnishing truck driven in there today, followed by a van. The van took the guy out. So they're doing work there. And it's not just picking up a broken down vehicle. People are coming there as a service center. I didn't think you could just open up one of them. I mean, there's got to be fluids and EPA and other stuff that you have to, you know, take care of first. When I opened up my tackle shop, I didn't just open it up and wait for a violation notice to hit me. I went through all the course of action. It took me 14, 15 months to do it. I had no problem with it. I saw in the one thing that he was asking for 18 parking spaces now. When I was here for planning and zoning, they said 10 or 11. I was wondering how they added all the other spaces to it because, and where they're going to be put at. If you look at the layout, there's really no space for any of that stuff. I shut my business down to be here today, which is kind of disappointing. I mean, I'm still here because it's hurting my business that I'm trying to create. I'm petrified about my property value. Who wants to live next to an impound yard? What's to say he can't in 3 years go for a repo license and then not live there and have somebody who works for him live there who has no caring about what happens? That's my concern. I live there at my house. I mean, it's a tackle shop. It's not, you know, people who have cars impounded aren't usually probably the best people in the world. I mean, mistakes happen sometimes, but people who knowingly do that, I mean, as you'll hear from me, I've talked to other people with impound yards. I mean, it can be very violent and very crazy. There was no notification about the impound yard or the garage. As a matter of fact, I do have a petition going around Roxana right now being signed by people against an impound yard. Roxana does not want it. We already have a garage, Roxana Automotive. He could have had that property, but he didn't want to when it was leased out. He didn't go for that. Somebody else did. He opened his, obviously. It's cheaper to do it on your own property than somewhere else, but not to the point that it's going to, I got to worry, fuel, what about leaks, what about the ground soil, what's going to happen 10 years from now, 15 years from now. I mean, if you can't keep track of a meeting, you're going to keep track of where all your chemicals are, what's kept in storage. Does the fire company know about it? Is the fire company willing and able to handle something such as that? The fumes, the toxicity, you know, all the volatile chemicals and everything. Nobody's brought any of that up. Would the EPA allow it? Can you just start a garage? You put up a building and start a garage? I didn't realize you could do that. What's going to make him follow the law now? He hasn't done it for 10 years. As he told you, he's not been legal 10 years and he knows it. What's going to change next year? That's what all. Roxana Athletic Club is not even a business yet. It's just a building. It's not even been built yet. There's a building there. There's no fields or nothing. So whoever wrote that letter, I have people around the area too writing the petition against it. So.
How long have you lived next door? How long has he been up? He's been there, you both been there about the same time. Has he been towing vehicles?
No, he started towing, I say, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I guess.
So it's been at least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, it obviously, you know, it started out just him and one other person in the tow truck, and now it's multiplied into he wants to have, all this there, and what's next? He said he doesn't want to have a fleet of 50 trucks, but he's already said he has like 5 or 6 of them out there. Well, that's quite a jump from 2 already in 3 years. What's to keep him from 12 or 15 and then everything else?
So it's the last 3 or 4 years that has bothered you or that you objected to what he was doing in the last 3 or 4 years? I see what you're saying.
I was trying to be a very good neighbor. Okay. That's why I put the fence up. They say good fences make good neighbors. That's why I put the fence up. They do it on their side of the fence. I try to, let them live their life, me live mine, but this has a significant impact in my life, my business. I've had people not come to my shop, didn't come there because they thought it was his.
Mm-hmm. He can't control the GPS. No. He has no...
I know.
That's not an issue, really.
And, and I'm just worried.
We understand it. That...
And I know people, I've talked to people, they were told that if you get the Jim's Bain tackle sign, you went too far, we're right next to Jim's Bain tackle. That's right, because he doesn't have a sign up. I have a sign up because I'm legal.
Right.
So everybody sees that, they pull in. Mm-hmm. They pull into my backyard, they drive around, they drive out. I've driven over to their house, and I yelled at a guy once, and I went in and I said something to his wife about it. Because my daughter was out there playing, and the guy missed him by 10 foot. What if she gets hit? Who's responsible then? Do I have to spend money out of my pocket to fence in my whole yard and put a gate up? So because of what he wants to do to make money, there's tons of legal places. He could go up rent the old Millsboro Ford building. There's a huge garage there. There's all the property in the world. He could have an impound yard and everything. Route 113 frontage. Why is he doing it in a residential area? There's places where it's allowed to be at. I got no problem with him running a business. If he wants to do landscaping out of there, I have some minor questions about that, you know, making sure everything's not running off wrong and chemicals. But besides that, you know, landscaping and running towing dispatch service is fine. Running an impound yard and a service center, I do not want it. If I have to get a lawyer, I guess I'll fight with all my resources. But, you know, it just seems a shame that I would go broke fighting against something that shouldn't even happen in the first place. I called planning and zoning months ago, and they said that impound yard is not even allowed in residential.
Well, what you do is not allowed in the residential. That's why we have this conditional use application.
Yes.
Keep in mind, what you're doing also is not a permitted use in the agricultural district.
Correct. And I did not open up my business and then ask for.
No, I know. I agree. No, I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying that you've got.
Oh, you, and I understand.
You're saying it's a residential use, but you've also expanded on it with the conditional use process. And
exactly.
We can't place conditions on the gentleman if we need
exactly.
to.
Exactly. And also, you can also approve it, or you could also deny it and just approve part of it. And I have no problem with landscaping. I have no problem with towing dispatch. I have a huge problem with the other two. It has a significant impact in my life and my future. Because my life, my house was my everything. So, any other questions?
There are a lot of items in the yard. What is it, trucks or buses or what is all that?
Backyard.
About 15 units of something look like bus trucks.
Well, we don't know when that aerial was taken. That's not
yeah.
clear.
Yeah, okay. I'm just wondering if that's what's going on at this time. That's
well, there's a
happen.
Lot of that still back there, including the trailer that's halfway on my property. If you look at the layout, there's a trailer that's way on my property.
Are they...
I've been encroached by him since day one.
Okay,
so.
Because you live alongside. I've just wondered
yes.
if you knew. All right.
Shane, when were those aerials done, what we're looking at?
I'm not sure. They don't have a date on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Within the last ones in the file, they don't have a date on
right,
them,
okay.
I'm not sure.
I forget when we did all that aerial
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Nope. I'm fine. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition? Sir, come up and identify yourself.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Franklin Bennett, P.O. Box 369, Ocean View, Delaware. I'm here today because I oppose a conditional use being granted to this property owner. There's too many smokes and mirrors. You've heard a lot of lies today, stuff that's not true. I own an impound yard. If I tow a vehicle in for the Delaware State Police, if I tow your car at night for a parking violation and it's 10 o'clock at night, you call me and you want to come get your car, I have to give you your car. I don't agree
that's
with planning
it,
and zoning.
Frank, is that just when the state police
nope.
order? I mean,
that's other municipalities. Yeah, that are the rules.
Towns?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I tow for
okay.
towns, Denver. We're talking 3 acres. I was at the property 2 weeks ago. I towed a bus out of there. We're talking about an auto repair, truck repair business. The owner of this bus owns a fleet of buses out of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. The operations manager told me that he runs a second shift diesel mechanic shift. I mean, auto repair business, truck repair business, impound vehicles for the police, landscape business. I call it a junkyard. I saw over 100 used tires sitting outside. I saw abandoned vehicles. I saw wrecked vehicles. I saw weeds as tall as I am.
On this property?
On that property. It's in bad shape. And it put a tear in my eye because it's prime farmland. I'm a Sussex County. Lived here all my life, pay all my taxes, and I was just amazed. Like I say, I have an impound yard, and when you have an impound yard, you have problems. One is theft. Anybody that you talk to has an impound yard, they have to deal with people stealing. Today's economy makes it worse. Towing impound vehicles, wrecked vehicles, you've got to deal with battery acid leaking, oil leaking, antifreeze, brake fluid. There's many fluids. It contaminates the ground. It's not an easy business. When you talk about minimum lighting, there's going to be minimum lighting. You can't have minimum lighting. You've got to have security. You've got to have security lighting. You've got trucks that go in and out. They've got backup alarms. They've got backup lights. You have to have lights. I just can't see anybody getting away with this. There's been many violations. You should have violation notices in front of you from the Planning and Zoning Office. Mr. Malloy, he's been out there and inspected the property. Constable's office, Mr. Giblin pled guilty to 4 counts of conditional use for operating Mag Towing and Mark's Landscaping. I don't know what else to say. It's just very disturbing to me.
Do you often have auction off some of the cars where you can't collect?
No.
You don't sell any on your property?
Nope, we're not allowed to. When we tow a vehicle,
you're not allowed. But if you were allowed, you would. If it were,
if it's a vehicle that's titled in my personal name, yes.
Okay.
We're not allowed to sell the vehicles that we tow in. They have to be. They can't be stripped. They can't be any. Nothing can come off these vehicles. They have to be sold to a licensed automotive recycler.
So that's what you do with them when you can't collect.
Exactly.
Okay.
Any of this paper you want work you want to see? The violation notices?
They're in the file.
We'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
You're all in
we
the
got
file.
Them all right.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions of Mr. Bennett? You have anything further, sir? Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition? Sir, you want to come up and identify yourself?
Hi, my name is Charlie Moore. Charles Moore for Coastal Towing in Lewis, Delaware, 33012 Cedar Grove Road, Abraham. Lewis, Delaware.
Maybe
I'm,
I should remove myself from here. It's my neighbor.
Have you towed her car recently?
Never towed my car.
Worked for her husband who worked for Hope Police.
He came and changed a tire. I had a flat tire. They fixed me right up.
It's a conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest.
What I'm saying is I don't begrudge anybody from going into business or doing something. And Mag Towing has outbid me in Dewey Beach, which is a fair game. We'll bid again. Ain't care. I tow for Rehoboth, Lewis Police, Dewey Beach Police, and we do a lot of towing. The map I gave you is your aerial photo that's almost a year old of how big he is. And like he says, if you look at that map, you don't see him from the road. But I drove in there the other day, and his application did not say for storage when he's at planned zoning. It said for towing. And he kind of stated in that he was going to tow to dealerships and stuff. And I went there to pick up a wrecked vehicle, which he is charging storage for a body shop. When I got there, the truck had the right front wheel ripped off, oil's leaking out of the axle housing. He didn't have a drain pan, didn't have a storage yard. However, he's still charging storage. He tows for Dewey Beach, and I towed for Dewey Beach for years, and so is Blue Hen, who couldn't make it today. You have to release a car for Dewey Beach 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 3 o'clock in the morning, they're allowed to have their car. So that 8 to 5, 6, they don't fly. You say what you want, you have to open that gate, collect that money, and turn that person loose. That gentleman talked about a taxi cab. I've talked to people many, many, many times, even getting lost trying to find my facility, and you know where it's at, trying to get their car. They will come in your yard. They will knock on somebody's door. They're lost. They're from Baltimore. They ain't got a clue how Sussex County works, and they need their car.
I'm not from Baltimore. I'm from Annapolis.
Whatever. I'm sure we all move here from somewhere. However, I was born and raised here, and I'm not begrudging anybody from making money. But this gentleman, if you give him 18 cars, we'll see 100 there next year. What I'm saying to you guys is for 10 years, he hasn't played by no rules. I've had to come to you, buy the ground from Townsend, do the Dell Dot, do the planning and zoning. Lawrence Lang said, what the right? Come here and ask. You guys zone me. I wanted to sell used cars. I came back here, got David Hutt to help me through the loopholes. I applied. You approved. You put a limit on the cars, how big the sign was and everything. I didn't start selling cars and then say, well, I thought I was okay, good old boy thing. The good old boy thing doesn't fly. The big deal is you have, if he hasn't went by no rules from day one, whether you approve him or don't approve him, who's going to keep him in line? He's like the little guy, you give an inch, he's going to take a mile. And in my opinion, fixing a car or two isn't bad in your backyard. There's a, we told to a million different little people that's got their own little deal in their backyard, whether they're fixing cars, doing a little body work because they quit for the big guy. And you know that happens everywhere and you can't police them all. But he, if you look at that map, he's no tiny guy. He's my size in equal. Mm-hmm. I own 2.68 acres, and I don't know how many acres he has there, but he's got her full, pretty full. So as far as I'm concerned, I think he should go back to the drawing board and tell you everything he wants. Because in some of the papers I have here of his violations, it states he's thinking about wanting to sell Christmas trees. I didn't hear anything talked about selling Christmas trees. On one of these papers here I have on his violation, it says that he's thinking about selling Christmas trees.
You have to have a permit to sell Christmas trees?
Pardon me? I don't know. You tell me.
I don't. I think it's agriculture. I don't think you have to have
I don't know. Well, you're the farmer. You tell me.
If you're a farm.
If you grow them on your own land, I don't think you have to. But to buy them and sell them, I think you have to.
You're not a farmer.
Yeah, you do.
But what I'm saying is, Sam, that's not a farmer.
I really think he should tell you exactly what he truly wants. Because when I called there to pick this vehicle up, a lady on the phone said, Mag Service Center, how can I help you? I felt I was calling somebody just like myself, a very legal, upfront, large business. I'm sorry. It wasn't like, hey, I got it in my backyard, hid here. You want to come pick it up and take it to buy a shop? I mean, think about it, guys. I mean, he's kind of got the edge on everybody, but when I built my building, I had to go by the fire marshal and all these codes. Is any one of these buildings built with the intention to be a repair shop, or did he put it up and say, I want to build a building? He gets his building permit, gets done, then he buys a lift and puts a garage door, and then he's in business. You know, we have a fire alarm system that we pay $2 a day to have monitored because the state requires it. Has a fire marshal ever been to his building? Is there a fire extinguisher in the building? Does he pass that? You don't know. That would be another glitch he doesn't have. What I'm saying is, he says he has tow trucks everywhere. When we go to tow meetings, every tow company in the world talks about Mag Towing having a tow man with a truck sitting in their town waiting to pounce on our territories. I don't have a grudge against that. I just wish if he's going to pounce on us, he goes by the rules so we all play on the same fair game. So in my opinion, I don't think he should be approved for anything. I think he should have to go back to planning and zoning. It should be posted what he really, really wants and what he's really, really going to do. And then a decision be made. But really, a storage yard in your backyard, I think it's a little reaching. Everybody else has them where they're accessible, usually in a commercial environment. Any questions for me?
Any questions for Mr. Moore?
Okay, very good.
I really thank you for your time. Have a great day.
See you, neighbor.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing portion.
We'll close the public hearing, close the public comment.
Mm-hmm. We're going to defer that. Sorry.
Are you going to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion. We defer.
Can I make a comment before we make a motion? I would just see, with some of the issues raised here, maybe we ought to have Mr. Malloy. Maybe is this possible to go and report back to us with what he visually sees with a site inspection, so we could leave the record open for a report from Dean Malloy. He does that area, right?
Correct.
Or and any other things that we could have from Mr. Malloy, because he's the one who's visited.
So you want to recollect only for his
For mm-hmm. comments from planning and zoning staff, and I'll just leave it at staff. Staff report.
You'll make that motion.
So I'd like to make that motion that we leave the record open for a report from the planning and zoning staff.
I have a motion.
Well, I'll second that.
And a second. Yeah. Any question on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Although yes, motion carried.
Now we have a question about the way it was advertised.
Now you want?
Well, they can resolve that.
Want to defer, and then we can. In the meantime, you can research that and okay. See if it's right, wrong, or whatever.
Yeah, I move we defer it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Cole to defer. Any questions on that motion?
And do we need to state anything about what we're doing for this deferral that we're getting? Mr. Rutt, should we state in this deferral, we also want you to report back also? I guess we need to have some kind of, so why don't we back up, Mike, and make my request for a planning and zoning report, and
maybe you take back your second. You'll take back your motion.
We'll back up. Can we go in
order? Another motion from you to do what?
My motion is to have a report from planning and zoning's inspector and a report from our county attorney on the advertising issue, on advertising of the application.
Okay. That's your motion.
And that would be my motion, to leave the record up only for that. No, nothing from the public, just from staff comments.
And the attorney. Okay.
And the attorney.
I'll give you a second, George.
And the second, there's a second. Mrs. Deaver. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Although yes, motion carried. Now, Mrs. Deaver, do you want to defer this?
Yes, we need to do that, to look into the way it was
motion,
advertised.
Mrs. Deaver, to defer.
Just defer.
Second.
Yes, defer.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, to defer.
Yes.
Any question on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
All vote yes. Motion carried. We have deferred it. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mm-hmm. Motion, second. Mr. Cole. Second. Okay. Mr. Phillips? Any questions?
Shane.
Take the vote. Mrs.
Shane,
Deaver?
Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
He says yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson? Yes. Stand yes. We're adjourned.
I knew she said yes. I heard her.